Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Except for the fan at Tyson's Beer Garden, Sunday, November 19th. That's this Sunday, from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. for the Junks pregame show. Relax on one of Tyson's Beer Garden's three floors. Try their signature wings, 18 for just $8 during every NFL game. And catch all the action on their 17 TVs. Details online at thefandc.com/events. And if you're a big Browns fan, you can hang out in the basement and watch the Browns take on the Jaguars at some point this weekend. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I think I'm bringing my son. He's such a picky eater. It's an impossible thing to defeat. Tried it. I've stayed at a restaurant one night where I said, you have to have a bite of nothing exotic.
Yeah.
A quesadilla.
Oh, delicious.
And we were there until close.
I'd have several
bites.
I've
read books on like how you beat,
wow,
like,
he wore your ass
defeated
out.
Defeated you?
He wore your ass out.
So we were at Baja Fresh for 2 hours, cakes.
But I'm sure that, I mean, he can get a cheeseburger at Tyson's Beer Garden.
He won't eat a cheeseburger.
He won't eat.
Good luck trying to get
my youngest won't eat a regular hamburger. It's crazy.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I'm like, who doesn't love a hamburger?
Bruce loves them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's a picky
I know
eater,
that our next
like
guest,
things.
J.P. Finley, who covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington, he likes hamburgers. He likes eating hot dogs with no buns. And for whatever reason, he really likes coleslaw a lot.
Oh, I like coleslaw,
that I
too.
Do know.
Coleslaw is underrated.
I think it's rated about where it should be.
Coleslaw is definitely underrated.
Definitely underrated.
Yeah, you guys can die on that mountain together.
I'm with you on
Deuce
that.
Deuce is so mad if he's listening right now.
He probably is. By the way, how did the tailgate go out at FedEx Field? It looked like it was a big hit.
Yeah, man, we had a blast. A whole bunch of people showed up, way more than I expected. You know, Santana and Fred Smoot are just so much fun.
Yep.
And fans
yeah.
loved getting to hang out with them. And I did get a little help on the grill to get the 100 burgers cooked. But it went very well, man. We had a lot of fun.
All right, so I don't know if you've been paying attention to any at all this week. We made this stupid bet. We got $1,440 on the Saints. It's my fault because I'm the negative Nelly. I just see this as sort of an insurmountable task. Obviously, in the NFL, anybody can win any given week. We saw it, you know, 2 weeks ago or whatever when we won at Seattle. This game, though, looks every bit as formidable and it is improbable as that Seattle game. Now, they pulled it out there, but they got the benefit of 16 penalties. What was it? 3 missed field goals, 2 interceptions. I don't see that playing out the same way again. I unfortunately think we're going to be on the wrong side of this one, JP.
Yeah, what number did you guys lock that in at?
Well, no, we just bet.
It's a money line bet.
Just a money line bet.
So okay. You put up 360 to win 100.
Yeah.
I think the money line actually makes more sense. You know, I was listening. Every reason you laid out makes total sense. If you look at this Saints offense, you start with the run game. I mean, these guys rushed for 300 yards last week in Buffalo.
Right.
The Redskins have 250 yards rushing in their last 4 games. If you look at the Saints' run production, it's crazy. They haven't had less than 100 yards rushing since Dusty Baker was still running the Nats. I mean, they've been piling up yards. But one thing that I kind of go back to, and this would be more if you were betting with the points, the money line is a different matter.
Yeah.
But when Deuce McAllister was on your show earlier this week, I was listening,
yeah,
and it sure seemed like Deuce was laying out the reasons almost why the Saints are due for a stinker. And if you just think about kind of how crazy the NFL is, how hard it is to win 8 games in a row, and the fact that the Saints have been turning the ball over but haven't been really getting punished for that, the only problem is the Skins aren't particularly adept at making teams pay for mistakes. When they do get turnovers, they often end up with just field goals instead of touchdowns. You know, you talk about the Seattle game. I think the Saints are a better team than the Seahawks, frankly. I think because they have such a good run game combined with Drew Brees, their defense is playing a lot better, especially in the Superdome. I mean, this is a really big-time task, but I think the Redskins are healthier this week than they were in Seattle, especially along the offensive line. I think Trent Williams will play, but if he doesn't, you certainly will see the interior of that line will likely be, you know, you probably have both guards playing, and then Rouye's been playing pretty well. I don't know if Spencer Long will play, but I'm not sure how big of a drop-off that is from Long to Rouye. Trent is obviously a big question mark. I don't expect Jordan Reed to play, but at this point, they're kind of used to that. I mean, Vernon Davis is having a heck of a season for them. You know, we'll have to see what Martrell Spate gives them on the defensive side of the ball next to Zach Brown. One guy, and we never would have thought this in August, but one guy I think that they could really use back on the field is Monte Nicholson, the rookie safety.
Mm-hmm.
Last week against the Vikings, man, I mean, when you saw just them getting kind of torched early in that game, in the secondary, they really could have used Nicholson's speed. They don't have a true burner at safety without Nicholson on the field.
JP, this is a dangerous game to play because we did it last week, looking at the Vikings' list of opponents leading into the game against the Redskins. I was saying, well, look at who the Vikings have played. They've boosted their record to 6-2, beating up on a bunch of cupcakes. You can kind of say that about the Saints quarterback-wise, as far as the caliber of quarterbacks they've faced up to this point. I know they faced Trubisky. They faced Tyrod Taylor, who I think threw for 56 yards last week, led to his benching this upcoming week. Kirk Cousins is going to be one of the better quarterbacks they've faced this entire season. So he could do some work against them.
He could. I mean, Kirk has put up pretty good numbers throughout the year. I mean, he went for over 300 yards last week against a tough Vikings defense. So I certainly think the Redskins offense will be able to run the ball. The Saints' biggest weakness, though, is rush defense. And I think the Skins, to win this game, and I know this is a kind of a hot-button topic if they should just abandon the run altogether, but if they can get Samaje Perine going, and I think he ran the ball the best he has all year last week against Minnesota. I thought he's starting to look decisive in his cuts and really getting that head full of steam going downhill. I think if you get Perine 16, 18 carries, and I'm not sure they will, but I think that would bode well for the Skins. The Saints are giving up nearly 5 yards a carry. I think it's 4.7 coming into this game. And
right,
you can kind of count on Kirk. Maybe he doesn't get to 300, but if Kirk can get you 270 and you have a productive day in the run game, rather than Kirk going for 340 yet you only run for 50 yards, I think Jay Gruden would take that first scenario every time.
Yeah, but here's the thing, JP. I've kind of, at this point, I feel like, like you said, the Redskins are going to move the football. I mean, even though they've had all of these injuries and they haven't been able to replace Pierre and Deshaun and these guys, we've talked about it every week, they have no running game really to speak of. They still find a way to move the ball, and they scored 30 points last week, you know, against that Vikings team. The problem, the issue with this team has been, the defense. Now, look, I think in 5 of their 9 games, and all of their losses, I think, they've given up 29 or more points. Now, there's a turnover or two there late that kind of skews that. But at the end of the day, even though I started out this season thinking, wow, this defense is better than last year, hard not to be, but maybe even significantly better than last year, at the end of the day, the defense is what's holding this team back. Despite all the problems on offense, despite all the injuries on the offensive line and the lack of production at the various spots, the defense is what's holding this team back.
I mean, especially looking at last week, the first half against Case Keenum was probably the worst defense they've played all year. I think the defense really changed when Jonathan Allen went down, and then when you compounded that with Matt Ioannidis going down, the defensive front totally shifted, and now what was a pretty solid run defense with those guys occupying blockers and getting good push and Zach Brown cleaning up a lot of things now looks way, way different. Simple area that the Skins could really turn things around is not giving up points just before halftime. And Jay Gruden talked about that yesterday. He said it's an area they've been terrible, and he's right. Neil Greenberg ran some numbers on Twitter that the Skins are the 4th worst team in the league at giving up points with 2 minutes or less in the half. And the teams in front of them are the dregs of the league. You're talking about the Dolphins and the Giants, not teams you want to be in company with. So it wouldn't even shock me, especially going to a place like New Orleans, where despite the fact that this year the Saints are kind of a run-first team, they still have quick strike capabilities, especially the way Drew Brees can go deep to Teddy Ginn or Michael Thomas and those guys. Maybe if Jay Gruden plays it a little closer to the vest going into halftime, and takes a knee and doesn't look for that extra touchdown, because things have gone really bad for them in those situations.
Talking to J.P. Finley, covers the Redskins on NBC Sports Washington. What's been the follow-up to all the discussion about bad practices last week? Are you getting anything from the players on how they're practicing this week?
Yeah, you know, one thing I was surprised by is the players talked about that, but the coaches tried to kind of get away from that. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Greg Minuski, defensive coordinator, talked, and he said, yeah, last Friday they were in the bubble. It wasn't a good practice. And he said the tone and the pace of practice all of this week has been much better. And, I mean, you know, these guys are professionals, man. A lot of them are making millions a year. The pace of practice on Thursday and Friday should not determine how they play on Sunday, but clearly it had an impact last week. All of the secondary guys talked about that, and they should be, frankly, better than that. They shouldn't allow that to matter so much on the outcome of a game, but the NFL is such a roller coaster that after the way they played last week, I don't think many would be surprised if they come out and play a really inspired effort, particularly defensively. Josh Norman is too proud of a player and too good of a player to have back-to-back weeks like that. I don't see it happening.
So do you actually, at the end of the day, do you actually think this is, everyone thought we were going to lose when we went to Seattle. Everyone. No one thinks you're going to win at Seattle as banged up as they were. To me, this game looks every bit as formidable, but the way you describe it, you don't think it's nearly as daunting.
Oh, I think it's just as daunting.
You're with us.
I like the points though. I think, if this thing ends 34-30, would that surprise you?
No, I think we'll score points. I just don't think we'll be able to, at the end of the day, stop them as often as we'll sort of stop ourselves on offense.
I think Mark Ingram will. I think the Ingram Kamara team in that backfield is going to be really, really hard for the Skins. And I think, you know, I don't think they're getting to 300 like they did last week, but I think they could easily go over 150 on the ground, kind of what Ezekiel Elliott did to them when they played the Cowboys a few weeks ago.
Right.
And it's really hard when the other team can just get yards on the ground whenever they want to pull out a win.
Here's how I like to put it, and this is easy terms for people to understand. This exact game plays out 10 times. Okay? How many times do the Redskins win this game?
Two.
Yeah, two at best, I think.
That's where I started.
Those are hard scenarios, but they're certainly big underdogs for a reason, but you can't ignore that they won at L.A. and they mm-hmm. won at Seattle. And, you know, I don't think anybody will ever talk about this on the record, but the way FedEx Field this year seems worse than it has in recent years is not giving them much of a home field advantage. I mean, the amount of Vikings fans there last week was crazy.
Yeah, it's neutral. The amount of Raiders, it's a neutral field. Yeah.
I mean, the best thing that happened for the Skins when the Raiders came to town is that they got out to that big early lead because there were Raiders fans everywhere in that game.
Right.
And maybe Cakes was one of them. I don't know.
Where the hell did the Vikings fans come from? None of us were aware that they had a huge fan base.
And even though there were Vikings fans.
Dude, I got into an argument with Tandler about that. Whenever this happens, Tandler tries to dismiss it as, oh, that's a national fan base. The Vikings are not a national fan base.
No,
I don't want to hear that.
Certainly
they just
not.
All showed up. I think maybe D.C. is a cool destination for an away team to come visit. Much like I think a lot of Skins fans will travel to New Orleans this weekend because it's a fun trip. Maybe people are doing that with FedEx Field because, A, they know they can get tickets, and, B, it's kind of cool. You go see the monuments, maybe hit the Smithsonian, go to a football game. I don't know, but you gotta look at the two wins in Seattle, in L.A., and how close they were in Kansas City, and maybe this team plays its best on the road at this point.
JP, have a great trip down to New Orleans. We'll talk to you again soon. As JP Finley covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Yep. Coming up at 8 a.m., we'll be joined by our friend John Feinstein, as we are every Friday. But listen up, fellas. It's time to change the way you experience the game that you love. Football Sundays at MGM National Harbor are here, and they're amazing. Grab a craft beer while catching all the action on the 90-plus TVs at Tap Sports Bar. And while you're sipping on your delicious craft beer from Tap, pick the winner of each game with the season. Get your share of $25,000 every week in free play. And best part, it's free to play. Learn more at MGMNationalHarbor.com. Please play responsibly. For help, visit MDGamblingHelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.